Radio audience to the Sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street. To all fathers, we wish you a happy Father's Day. Here at Trinity UMC, we strive to be Christ's hands, feet, and heart in our community. We also invite you to join us Sunday mornings for worship service at 10 a.m. You can also watch our worship service and our Spirit 23 devotions on YouTube. Saturday the 21st from 5 to 7 p.m. is our community meal, serving Salisbury steak and mac and cheese. Please join us for a delicious meal. If you enjoy our radio ministry and would like to further the building of His kingdom, you can visit our website at www.dev.tumcseymour.org. And as a reminder, you can check the bulletin for birthdays, anniversaries, and prayer buddies. And today's flowers are sponsored by Glenda Burton in honor of her birthday. And the radio is sponsored by Kathy and Mark Smallwood in honor of Jack's 9th birthday. Today's scripture comes from 1 Kings chapter 20, verses 39 through 40. As the king passed by, the prophet called out to him, "Your servant went into the thick of the battle, and someone came to me with a captive and said, 'Guard this man. If he is missing, it will be your life for his life, or you must pay a fallent of silver.' While your servant was busy here and there, the man disappeared. 'That is your sentence,' the king of Israel said. 'You have pronounced it yourself.'" God's word to God's people.
Thanks be to God. Good morning. This sermon's going to be a little bit different. I'm going to ask you to get out a pen and paper. You're not going to show me your notes. You are going to use your own notes to spiritually stay vigilant in your own life. Now, there's also going to be times where I'm going to ask for audience participation. And one of you are going to have to be brave enough to holler something out, or this sermon's going to go on forever and ever. And I'm sure you don't want that. In today's message, we will explore the profound lesson learned from 1 Kings 20, where a soldier's failure to guard the prisoner serves as a metaphor for our failure to guard our own spiritual lives, for our failure to guard our own hearts. I used to think, you know, you read in Proverbs, you read all over in the Word, guard your heart, for out of it flows the wellspring of life. Or in some translations, the issues of life. And I thought that meant, guard my heart, harden it so I don't get hurt. I'm not letting any of you close enough to hurt me. That is the furthest from what it means. And when you listen to Proverbs, it tells us more clearly, but we're really going to unpack it today. Our heart is part of our flesh. It is deceitful. We want what we want when we want it. And unless we have spiritual discipline set in place, we are going to automatically slip into that mindset of, I want what I want when I want it right now. I deserve it. I'm entitled. I want it. I'm going for it. It feels good. Do it. Unless we are connected to our God daily, unless we choose this day who we're going to serve. Are we going to serve us? Are we going to serve the flesh? Are we going to serve the world? Are we going to strive for money or fame? Or are we going to make the commitment and the daily choice to serve and follow our God? The soldier's excuse of, I was busy here and there, so I wasn't paying attention, and that's how the prisoner got free, tends to be our excuse for not upholding the spiritual disciplines in our life. And you get to choose what disciplines those are. I mean, it does tell us that we should be in the Word, that we should be in prayer, that we should gather with a community that will strengthen us and uphold us in times of trial, in times of doubt, in times of apathy. We get to pick the disciplines we want. You'd think we'd have an easier time committing to them. But we're human. We want what we want. We get caught up in the hustle and the bustle of life. And we go running off chasing all kinds of things that are harmful to us, rather than staying connected to God our Father. This message is our wake-up call, people. This is our wake-up call to stay connected, because this world is only going to get darker. It's only going to get harder. People who do not know Christ Jesus are going to harden their hearts. They are going to become more selfish and more self-centered. Hence, the importance of gathering together every single week with people who will uphold us. Hence the importance of having some kind of spiritual discipline that connects you and the Father. Because if you and the Father are connected, you can connect in healthy ways to all of the other people in your lives. You know, the Word tells us to guard our hearts. It's kind of like those bumpers in the bowling alley. You throw that ball down there. Well, if you're me, it winds up 2 to 3 lanes over, unless you get down low enough for it to run into those bumpers. To me, the Ten Commandments are guardrails. Yes, they're hard and fast commandments. I've gotten in trouble saying that they're loving guardrails to people. They're like, no, they're commandments. Yes, they're commandments, but they're God's loving guardrails. You know those guardrails that keep us from driving over a cliff, from driving too fast and being unaware, distracted like the soldier, and falling off the side of the cliff. Because our God knew that if we broke any of those commandments, we destroy our relationship between Him and us. He still loves us. He forgives us when we ask for it. But it affects our relationship with Him. It affects our relationship with other people when we commit adultery. Our God forgives us. Hopefully our spouse can forgive us as well. But it has caused harm, and there is a lack of trust when we lie. We can be forgiven, but there, again, is a lack of trust. When we take the Lord's name in vain, or when we take it lightly, when we are not reverent to our God, we forget who He is and how powerful He is and all the promises He has made to keep us strong. There is a reason for each and every one of those commandments. And one of the biggest reasons is when we break them, it destroys our relationship with ourself, because we carry that around with us. We begin to look at ourselves differently. We are called to guard our heart. The story of this soldier in 1 Kings teaches us the importance of guarding our heart and our lives against distractions. Our hearts can be deceitful, leading us away from God's purposes, if not carefully watched. And sometimes, the things that we want, when we want them, aren't necessarily bad things. But they lead us away from God's purpose for us at that time in our lives. We are called to be vigilant and intentional. The soldier's failure to do his job. He blames, you know, Adam, the woman you gave me the fruit. The woman's like, the serpent talked me into it. Everybody's involved in the blame game. We don't change unless we take responsibility for our lives and our actions. And then our God honors the changes that we are trying to make in our lives. We are called to be vigilant and intentional in our spiritual walk. We must actively participate in our spiritual disciplines. Christianity is not a spectator sport. We don't get to sit back and watch how other people do it and not strive for it ourselves. We are called to set spiritual guardrails, just like those bumpers in the bowling alley. Here's the part you begin taking notes. What are some of those guardrails you can set in your own life? And Father God, I ask that the Holy Spirit will move in a powerful way over this congregation, and that the Spirit will speak to people individually in ways that they can hear it. And Spirit will cause us to develop these spiritual disciplines. We are also called to engage in the world, not to be so spiritually minded that we are of no good to the world. How many of you know somebody who's not Christian? Good. I'm so glad to see that, because frequently those of us in the church don't know people who aren't Christian, and we are called to come alongside of those people. We don't have to preach to them. All we have to do is tell them how Jesus helped us get through a difficult time in our life. Tell them why we go to church. Because those people pray for me. Because when I go, I am more connected to God, but when I stay home and try to do it on my own. We are called to be light in the world. Engaging with those who do not know Christ Jesus, our lives should testify to His goodness. And I don't care what kind of life you've had, whether it had been an easygoing life, whether it's a tragic life, whether it's like a few that I know here, that it has been a hard-fought, hallelujah kind of life. You are called to testify to the goodness of God and how He gets you through the things that have happened in your life. We run into pitfalls. What distractions in your life are pulling you away from God's purpose for your life right now? This is the participation part. What distractions are pulling you away from God's purposes in your life? Social media, good. Anxiety, yes, most definitely. Health issues, yes. That's a real tough one, because you do have to pay attention to those and you do have to deal with them. But when we place them in God's hand and ask Him to help us, that keeps us closer to Him. Anybody else so busy they're not reading their Bible? Pardon me? TV, yes. Yes, most definitely. TV in itself isn't a bad thing. It helps us to de-escalate from the day. But I mentioned in Sunday school class that the past 2 weeks, I've not been watching the TV. Now, sometimes I get into watching stupid videos, and you'll all know because you'll get sent one of them. But at least I'm not sitting there for hours tuning out. I am spending time with God. I'm in His Word. I'm reading things that are encouraging to me. Intentionally develop spiritual disciplines and make them be something that you hold to, something that's exciting, not something that's routine. This congregation knows me. I rarely use the same communion liturgy twice. My purpose for that is a fear that it will become too routine. The Lord's Prayer, except for me, they keep track of it up there. You can say that thing by rote and plan your grocery list in your head. And part of my problem is I'm thinking about the next things in the service, or I'm thinking about somebody's prayer request. Again, excuses. Do not make your spiritual disciplines something that are boring. Make them something that you can accomplish in your life. Colossians 4:2. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Gratitude and worry. Gratitude and evil. Gratitude and anger cannot coexist. When we remember to be grateful, I have been told time and time again, when I start having an attitude, count your blessings. Write a gratitude list. Remember the things that you are grateful for. What specific time and place can you, this is where you're writing down your own notes, dedicate to prayer and reading the Bible this week to ensure intentionally that you're on a good spiritual basis with our Lord? Write them down, folks, because if you've written it down, you're more likely to hold to it. Here's our spiritual guardrails again. Those spiritual guardrails involve accountability and community support to help us stay true to our faith. I've said it time and time again. A church is not a place where you come in and you sit like you've got it all together. For one thing, the new people coming in the door will feel that and they'll run. They'll say, I can't be this. For the other thing, you're not being authentic to yourself and to your God. And lastly, but most importantly, you should be able to turn to somebody in this church for the deepest, darkest prayer requests that you have. Maybe you don't lift it up in front of everybody, but you should be able to find somebody in this church that you trust enough to go to and ask them to help hold you accountable. Ask them to pray for you, knowing full well that you're not going to be judged. You're going to be supported. Spiritual guardrails are not restrictive. They are protective, guiding us away from potential pitfalls and keeping us focused on our spiritual journey. By establishing these guardrails, we create a framework that supports our growth and helps us navigate all the challenges of life. It gives us a deeper faith, a stronger resilience. Where Proverbs 11:14, where there is no guidance, a people falls. A people, an entire people. Unless we're in the Word, unless we worship with one another. But in an abundance of wisdom, there is safety. One of the best ways God can speak to us is through another person. When you ask another person to pray for you, and they take that seriously, God can speak to you powerfully. Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Just by doing that, people see that you're different. You can be trusted, and they will come to you. Reclaiming your spiritual journey. This is a challenge. to take back our lives from the enemy when we have fallen. And we all fall short of the glory of God. There is not one person here who does not fall short of the glory of God in word, thought, or deed. When we do fall short, we give the enemy legal ground to torment us. Legal ground to tell us we're not good enough. Legal ground to tell us we'll never overcome that addiction. We'll never learn to do things the way God wants us to do it. But when we surrender to our God, when we ask others to pray for us, when we reclaim our spiritual journey, we kick the enemy to the curb. He has no right. When you're in the Word daily, when you're praying daily, he has no right to attack you. And if he tries, you can tell him, get behind me, Satan. You have no legal ground. In other words, you're ineffective here. You have no power here. You have no legal ground. When he has legal ground, he has power in your life. This involves a conscious decision to prioritize your own spiritual growth and align your own life with whatever God's purposes are in your life right now. Ephesians 5, 15 through 16. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time, because these days are evil. What specific steps can you take today? Here's where you write something down. What specific steps can you take today to regain your spiritual journey, to align yourself with God, to tell the enemy he has no legal ground in your life? This is your wake-up call. The choices you make today, the decisions you make from here on, from this room, from this Sunday, are going to affect every single day that comes after it. They will also affect the people in your life, your children, your grandchildren, unto the third and fourth generation. It will affect your place of employment. It will affect your family. Fight for your family. Fight for your place of employment. Fight for your church. I love our song of response because it reminds us that it doesn't happen just in a day. It's titled Slow Fade by Casting Crowns. It lets us know that we make the conscious choice to forget to do the things that we need to do. And when we fail, and when we fall, which we will, we are responsible because we did not keep those spiritual boundaries up. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. It's the second glance that ties your hands as darkness pulls the strings. I talk to teenagers, and I talk to men. The Bible does say when you look at a woman with lust, you've already sinned. But when you do a quick glance and your brain says, that's not sin. It's when you spend time in your mind fantasizing about what you want to do with it. Women, we are no better. When we covet someone else's husband and we wish that they did the things for us that they're doing for their wives, we're allowing Satan in. It's a slow fade when you give yourself away. It's a slow fade when black and white turn to gray, when it all becomes metal ground, when there is no absolute truth. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Garbage in, garbage out. our world is a very sexualized world. I hurt for the men in our world because everywhere you turn, you see women that are being sexualized. And men's wiring is created to take one look at that. And the women, there's all kinds of commercials that tell us if you take this, wear that, drink this, you're going to look like this. It's a slow fade when you give yourself away. Thoughts invade, choices are made, and a price will be paid.
The second glance that ties your hands as darkness pulls the strings. Be careful, little feet, where you go. For it's the little feet behind you that are sure to follow. It's a slow fade when you give yourself away. It's a slow fade when black and white turn to gray and thoughts invade. Choices are made, a price will be paid when you give yourself away. People never crumble in a day. It's a slow fade. Yeah.